Hello and welcome back to the Bi-Week Podcast. I'm Blake Scheel alongside Cole Roberts, and here is episode 28. Me and Cole are now both freshmen in college, and we're ready to start talking football again. And being in college, we've gotten really into college football this year, and so this episode is going to be solely about college football. So yeah, we're going to go
for
ahead.
For those of us who follow for the NFL content, we love our devoted fans, and we will continue pumping out NFL content. Just for right now, we're taking a break because college is big these days. And let's be honest, it's been more exciting these first couple weeks than the NFL has been. So with
yeah,
that,
I agree.
Let's get into it.
So today we're going to be talking about a 12-team playoff prediction. We did this last episode as well, and now we've seen, I guess, 4 weeks, including week zero of football. And now we're going to refresh our 12-team playoff prediction and see how it looks now. And then we're going to talk about our Heisman rankings about of the sixth of the way through the season. Maybe a little Heisman dark horse too. And then we're going to talk about this week's predictions of the big games. There's about four or five big games this week. Some ranked matchups. We're going to talk about that. And then we're going to finally talk about maybe a parlay or some betting odds that we like a lot. Let's start with that 12-team playoff prediction. Cole, where do you want to start?
I want to start off here with... I'm just going to go with my number one team right now. And again, call me biased. I think it's going to be Ohio State. I actually do not even say that because I think that Ohio State's the best team in the nation right now. I say that because Georgia looked very beatable this past weekend, winning by one against Kentucky when they have a gauntlet of a schedule ahead. They play Tennessee. They play Ole Miss. They play Texas. They play Bama. They are going to lose at least one of those games. Three of those are away games at that. To me, even though I think that the SEC all around has the better teams, I think that Ohio State's going to go kind of unopposed in the Big Ten. The only ones that could scare them are at Oregon, but Oregon also has looked super beatable so far.
Agreed.
And then they play at Penn State. That's going to be, they call it the helmet stripe game. I put quotation marks because it's basically just a whiteout, except they can't call it that because they're already doing another whiteout. But basically it's a whiteout with one blue line down the middle of the stadium. Anyway, those two games, potential scares. I will give those their flowers, but other than that, it's a really weak schedule for the Buckeyes. They get Michigan at home, and Michigan has looked really poor, and I think it's just going to get worse this next weekend. They only won by 10 against Arkansas State last, but we'll talk more about that later. Anyway, my number one seed, I have the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah, so for my number one seed, I have Texas. I honestly think that right now, Texas is the most complete team in the country. The wide receivers are unbelievable, led by Isaiah Bond, who I think will be a first-round pick, and Kelvin Banks Jr., their offensive tackle, who I think will be a top-five pick. Defense also looks stellar, and I understand Ewers' injury. We're not exactly sure where he stands, but what I've seen... If Ewers misses time, it really doesn't put them down at all for me because Arch Manning, we can't forget, he was legit a perfect prospect out of high school. And last week, he looked stellar. So no matter if it's Ewers or Arch Manning, I think this team is just so well built. And I like how Sarkisian has been running this team. And I have Texas as my number one.
Yeah, love that take. My only thing that I would say, again, like I said, why I would put Ohio State ranked one is I think that Texas can potentially pick up a loss playing against Georgia and Bama and all those SEC opponents at Ole Miss, Tennessee. I just don't see them getting through that, no matter how good of a team you are, without one loss. And then at the end of the day, you're going to look and see an undefeated, hopefully, Ohio State team against a one-loss Texas. And at that point, you have to give the edge to Ohio State, I feel like. So that's my take on it. But at number two, I think you're going to not really like me for my take here, but I think Ole Miss and takes the number two seed in the playoff. Hmm. I really like Ole Miss this year. I think Jackson Dart is stellar. He has been putting up numbers. They beat Wake Forest so bad, they canceled their game for next year already.
Yeah,
that's how bad. I mean, they have looked truly unstoppable, and they haven't gotten that marquee matchup yet like Texas has, getting to go to Michigan to prove themselves and put themselves on the national stage. But once Ole Miss gets into SEC play, I think that they're going to shock a lot of people. And I really think that Ole Miss is going to come out on top in the pretty crowded SEC. They have a slightly easier schedule than most. So give me Ole Miss to win the SEC.
Yeah, I love Ole Miss as well. I didn't give him this high, but we'll talk about him later. My number two, I have who you talked about, Ohio State. It's funny. I feel like I don't even hear that much about Ohio State right now just because it's so smooth sailing. Like, there's no controversy. They're just getting it done. Howard looks great for the job. The receivers are obviously unbelievable. So many NFL prospects on defense, like Caleb Downs. This is a classic Ohio State team. It's all the matter of if they can get it done in the playoffs. And yes, I think this team's going to go 12-0. And we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But for now, I mean, they look amazing, and I'll keep them at the two seed.
Yeah. My issue so far has been their lack of strength of schedule. We played Akron and then Western Michigan. But the one thing I would say is they're at least handling those teams the way they should handle them.
And the schedule's going to pick up as well down the road. Yeah. You play Penn State.
Yeah, Penn State, Oregon. Like, yeah. Look at Penn State. They beat Bowling Green by one score. Oregon beat
FCS. Not looked good. Yeah. Yeah,
they beat FCS Idaho by 10 and then barely.
Boise State almost beat them.
Yeah, so, but then you look at how Ohio State's handled those lower tier FBS teams. They've outscored them 108-6 in two games. So at least they're taking care of business. I wish they had a stronger non-con schedule, though, because they play Marshall this weekend. Again, that's just not an impressive win. So far, they haven't done enough to prove themselves, but I think once they get into conference play, they will.
Yeah, and I agree, but I honestly feel like if you just smoke everybody and you have a few marquee matchups that you win, that's all you need. You don't need the insanely hard schedule. That might even be worse for your players for injury purposes and just like for burnout. It's nice to just have a few big games and then just smoke everybody else.
Yeah.
And who's your number three? Who's your number three?
I was going to say, speaking of tough, tough non-con schedules, winning the ACC, I have Clemson. I know you're not going to like that at all as a Miami man. I really think that Clemson kind of took the Georgia game as a wake-up call. They got their asses rocked by Georgia, right? But then they come out and they blew out App State. I think that Cade Klubnik is finally getting on board. I think Dabo took this as a wake-up call. I really liked Clemson preseason. I picked them to pick the ACC. And I still think that with a really weakened ACC, the only true competitor they're going to have is Miami. And so I think that Clemson, as much as I know that's not going to sit well with you, and you know I really am really high on Miami, but give me Clemson to win the ACC.
No, I'll take it. I thought I was high on Clemson, putting him in the playoffs. But, you know, obviously you got a different world. For my three seed, I have the competitor of Clemson, Miami. Over the last few years, Cristobal, he's a great recruiter. They've been building out this offense, this offensive line. They've just never been able to land a QB. And then they hit the portal and they land Cam Ward. He's so composed. He looks like the best player in college football right now. And like that was the missing piece for this team. This offense and the receiving corps is really good. This offense is looking amazing. Defense is looking amazing. Yet, yes, they haven't really played anybody of strength yet. But, I mean, how can you complain? They've killed literally everybody. Cam Ward has taken like four snaps in the second half this season, and he's still looking amazing. So I honestly do think with the strength of schedule and how poor the ACC looks right now, the two biggest games for Miami were Florida and Florida State. They took care of Florida easy. And now Florida State, I think they might be the fifth best team to play on the schedule. I think that Florida State team looks horrible. So I'll honestly say I think this team's going to go undefeated. Yes, the ACC championship will be a difficult game, probably against Clemson. If they do lose that game against Clemson, I think Clemson will take it as long as they win out the rest of the season. But I think Miami's going to beat Clemson in the ACC championship and be completely undefeated, and they'll lock in a bye for the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's really disappointing that the two don't get to meet in the regular season.
Yeah.
Because that would be a great matchup. But I bet you that this will end up being the ACC championship. A lot of people took like Virginia Tech to be a dark horse. They lost to Vandy. They're not gonna do good enough. Florida State, we know what happened.
NC State was a dark horse for a little bit, but they looked okay.
So all these dark horses that a lot of people who are quote unquote analysts and gurus like to pick. Let's just be honest here. It's gonna be Clemson, Miami, and we don't need to talk much more on that. At my number four slot, I've got the champion of the Big 12, Oklahoma State. Whew. These guys have looked so impressive. I think they're going to go take care of Utah this weekend. I really think that that's a matchup that they're going to win. They've got Ollie Gordon at running back. They've got, who is, hands down, the best running back in the country right now, other than Ashton Jeanty.
That Boise State guy, Ashton Jeanty. He's looked so good.
He's a dog. But I'm really high on Oklahoma State. I think they're a complete team, which is important. Utah has looked a little lacking on offense lately, especially with Rising getting injured again. So give me Oklahoma State to win this weekend against Utah and then to go on and win the Big 12.
It's funny. We haven't agreed on a single one of the top four, and I love it. Number four, I have Utah. I mean, I'll say coming into the season, the Big 12, I didn't have that many high hopes. I thought this might be the worst conference, and the ACC being third, but ACC's for sure fourth. The Big 12 is low-key pretty damn good, and I think Utah has looked the best. Rising is said to come back this week, but even without Rising, I think they looked great. This, you know, the thing I'll say about Utah every year, this team is just a solid, gritty team. They don't have the prospects like an Ohio State or a Texas, but I see Utah as a culture team where they just get it done, and I like those kind of teams. Those teams fight hard, and I want Utah as my four seed.
I really like that take. I think Utah is going to be a talented team this upcoming season. This is another one where I could see it going either way. Don't forget about K-State. We didn't talk about them.
Yeah, but I mean, as someone who watches a lot of Tulane football, Tulane should have beat them. Literally, they were about to beat them. There was a horrible call. I think K-State
Tulane
is
also
good.
Played Oklahoma really well. So
yeah,
potentially, let's just say Tulane's just a really good team.
I guess that's true.
They probably are playing at a mid to high power five level right now.
And I do want to put one more mark about Oklahoma State. I do also think they're a solid team. I mean, you know, last year you think about Ollie Gordon. It was the Ollie Gordon show, and Ollie Gordon's still yet probably the best in college football. He hasn't looked as good this year, and Alan Bowman has been able to actually throw the ball downfield, and it's looked like a more solid offense, not just the run game. So I'm not opposed to Oklahoma State, but I'll take Utah here for my four.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fair. At my five, I'm going to take Georgia. Right now, I'm just giving them the edge over Texas because I like Georgia as a team right now, and I think that this past weekend, Kirby Smart is going to whip them into shape. He is going to have that team blow out every team that they play because their next game is Bama. That is a huge game, and it doesn't get easier from there. They have to travel to Texas later. I really, really like Georgia to just come back and start curb stomping teams like they know they can. This past weekend was a wake-up call, a night game on a road against a team that they probably didn't prepare much for in Kentucky. So I will take Georgia at my number five.
We finally agree. I have Georgia at my number five, and I had the exact same points. Yeah, this Kentucky game was alarming. But I kind of am under the impression that these games are important. They are the wake-up calls. They are the lock the hell in kind of games. This can't happen. You know what I mean? Sometimes when you're sitting at the one seed and everything's going perfect, you kind of get lackadaisical. A game like this, you almost lose to unranked Kentucky. Coach is going to be on their ass, and this is going to be a different team. They know the circumstances of what would have happened if they lost that game. You know, just talking about Georgia, they have the Heisman-level QB in Carson Beck. The team can always run the ball so well. The defense is always so good. It's a classic Georgia team. I don't know what bad you could possibly say about it. I have Texas win the SEC, so I'll put Georgia on my five.
I like that take. And then I'm just going to follow it up with the team that was neck and neck with Georgia. I had Texas, who at that point, I'm literally just giving it down to who I think is going to win the game between them this year, because I think that's going to be the difference just between who gets the five or six seed. At least in my scenario of having Ole Miss win the conference. So, and you said everything there needed to be said about Texas. Really well complete team, really well coached right now. Went into Michigan and took care of business. Well led from top to bottom in terms of player leadership. Ewers went down, no problem for them. So I will take Texas at my six.
For my six, I have Ole Miss. I'm also a big fan. This is an explosive offense and one of the best Lane Kiffin teams I've honestly ever seen. It's like I checked the score and it's 70-0. Dart looks amazing, also a Heisman candidate, but also they really haven't played any real competition yet, so I guess we'll have to see what happens. I predict them to go 11-1. I do, only having a loss to Georgia. I think they will comfortably be the three seed in the SEC. I think that the SEC will be championship will be Georgia and Texas. Ole Miss will be sitting right there below them. And how strong the SEC is this year, I think even not making the SEC championship, they can still be a six seed. And, I don't know what to say bad about Ole Miss. This offense looks completely explosive. The receivers are so good. Obviously, Jackson Dart is that guy. You know, they're good. They're really good.
Yeah, they're phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. Phenomenal. All these top teams, like, it's hard to find something bad to say about them.
Yeah, and I feel like with all of those top three SEC teams between Ole Miss and Georgia and Texas, you're kind of splitting hairs, just going down to who wins the matchups between them throughout the season. Those are all three elite teams, and I put underline under elite because those are great football teams in a great conference. And it's almost unfair that they're all stuck in the SEC together while, you know, in the ACC, any one of them would blow through that conference right now.
Yeah. Maybe, I'd probably be second behind Miami. But...
Speaking of Miami at seven, I finally do have Miami. I think that outside of an ACC loss, ACC championship loss to Clemson, I think Miami goes undefeated this season. I think Cam Ward is a stud. I think Miami's finally building something there after so many years of mediocrity. I think you're there at the best time you can be as they're just starting to really build up. So I have Miami sneaking at my seven seed with really what should be an undefeated season, at least heading into the ACC championship.
My seven seed might come as a shocker, or maybe you're a big fan as well. I have USC. This might be a hot take having this high, but I'm seriously impressed by Lincoln Riley, Miller Moss, the receiving core, and especially the defense. Last year, this defense might not even have been top 100. It was so bad. I'd say it's comfortably probably a top 15 defense right now. I think they're going to go into Ann Arbor this weekend and clean up. I seriously do. I think this Michigan team is kind of fraudulent, and this USC team is looking great. Yes, they also play Penn State at the Coliseum. I think they win that as well. I think this team goes 11-1. They lose one game, not to Penn State, not to Michigan. It'll be to a kind of one of those teetering teams like Nebraska and Notre Dame. I think they could possibly lose one of those games at the end of the season. An 11-1 USC team that beat Penn State and Michigan comfortably at the 7 seed.
Yeah, right. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 7. And I'm going to save my remarks on USC because I have a nice little spiel ready to go for them when I get to them. But at number 8, I've got Tennessee right now. This is another... outside of the top three in the SEC, because I feel like those top three are head and shoulders above the rest in Ole Miss, Georgia, Texas. They're in the league of their own. Right after that, I have Tennessee, who have just been going ham so far, beat the living crap out of Kent State this past weekend. I really like what Tennessee has there. They are a well-rounded team, I should add. Having a defense that is that solid right now, and especially with the way their offense is going, I think that they are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the not only the SEC, but when they get to the playoffs as well.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I'll talk about Tennessee a little later. My 8 seed, I have Clemson. I'll be honest, I don't think Clemson is a stellar football team, but the current state of the ACC makes it so they could easily win out. I mean, let's just say they win out and their one loss is against the best team in the country, Georgia. It's obviously going to look pretty good. There we go, the ACC championship. I think they'll lose to Miami. They'll have one loss to Georgia and one loss to Miami. Those will probably likely both be top 7 teams. I think Clemson will comfortably still be in the playoffs.
Yeah, and at least we're in agreement on that, that we both think, even though Clemson had the rough start, that they will be back and probably in that top 12 range by the time the playoff comes around.
Yeah.
And like you said, that's on account of a weak ACC, not a super strong Clemson.
I agree. I mean, as long as they can beat down on those mediocre ACC teams and their two losses are to top 10 teams, it's hard to really give them any dirt for that.
Yeah. And then at number 9, I have a team that has struggled to begin this season, but I feel like I finally saw what they're really about this past weekend. I saw Oregon have a really good weekend against Oregon State. Went into their rival, Corvallis, and they laid the woodwork on them. They beat the pants off of Oregon State. So I really liked finally seeing them do that after a really poor start, barely beating Idaho, barely beating Boise State. In that Boise State game, they probably shouldn't have even won. He dropped the ball before entering the end zone on that one kick return. So, But at that, I feel like we're finally going to see Oregon be who they're supposed to be. I see them only having a loss to Ohio State during the regular season and entering the playoff at the 9 seed.
Yeah, my 9 seed, I have the Alabama Crimson Tide. I was struggling to choose between Bama and Tennessee here, And I think it's actually going to come down to the matchup against each other for who's going to get in. I think it's a fairly even matchup. They're both really good teams. It's in Neyland Stadium, and I still have Bama winning. You know, let the naysayers know. I think Bama's looking pretty damn good this year.
Yeah. Bama's a good team. And thank you for saying that, because at my 10, I have Bama. I loved watching them go into Wisconsin this past weekend. That was really cool to see. And I know it sounds weird to say, like, Bama was underdogs going into the season, not against Wisconsin per se, but just everyone was starting to kind of write them off, saying, oh, you know, Saban's gone, Milroe's pretty fraudulent. Then they've come into the season and they've done what Bama does, and against a not weak Wisconsin team during a big game, packed stadium, and they went in and they took care of business. So I think Bama's going to be really good. Just, again, they're down at the 10 seed because they're stuck in a really, really hard conference. But I think Bama will be a top 12 team come season's end.
Yeah, the SEC is just so stacked this year. It's really hard to tell what's going to happen. At my 10 seed, I have Penn State. The matchup between Penn State and USC is going to make the difference between either being the 7 or the 10, in my opinion. I think they lose to USC at the Coliseum, and they also lose to Ohio State. With a tough schedule and a tough conference, I think a 10-2 Penn State can still be a 10 seed. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I really like that take. I think, though, that Penn State doesn't have the legs to support a full season of success, especially watching them barely beat Bowling Green. And unlike Georgia with Kentucky, at least that's a conference opponent, SEC opponent, at night, at their stadium. Fine, I can see excuses. That was a midday game in Happy Valley against a MAC opponent, and you have to go the whole way of the game trailing in the fourth quarter against Bowling Green.
Yeah.
And you barely pull it out. So I just think that they're going to hit some tough roadblocks in the Big Ten. And I think that they're going to slip up. I think that the Ohio State game, they're not going to win. The USC game, I don't think they're going to win. And I think that they pick up a third loss somewhere along the line. They're lucky that they avoid having to play Michigan this year, because even at this point, I would maybe say I think Michigan would win that game. And I am as big of a Michigan hater as you can get. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about it, how fraudulent Michigan is. So I think Penn State is in that same realm of highly ranked, but not really deserving of it.
Yeah. I mean, Penn State is highly ranked every year, and they never make it to the college football playoffs. They never really get it done. So I think this 12-team playoff is a perfect thing for Penn State, because they're always around that 7-12 rank. And if they drop that third game like you're talking about, then it's over. Yeah. It's a done deal. But if they can keep it to two losses against two top 12 teams in USC and Ohio State, I mean, it still look good for a playoff bid for sure.
Yeah. And speaking of USC, they are my final at-large bid. I have them at the 11. I think USC is a good enough team finally to where their defense matches their offensive production, because for so long they were just hindered by that. You had Caleb Williams, who was a generational college player and essentially wasted his final years of college with a terrible defense with Grinch there. Oh my God. It was a mess. So I'm really happy to see them finally pick up that defensive production. And I think they sneak in at that final spot in the 12-team playoff.
Yeah, for my final at-large bid, I have the Oregon Ducks. Coming into this season, a few weeks ago, we did our playoff prediction before anything started, and I had Oregon winning the entire thing. I was really high on them, and I've been seriously disappointed about how they've played, Gabriel included. Seems like they're just starting to gather momentum and play well, which I'm like, you know. Every rivalry game is a big game, no matter who it is. Oregon at Oregon State is always a nice matchup. They go out and they clean up 49-14. I think this is a two-loss team, one being Ohio State and one being a wild card sneaky team, maybe like in Illinois. So if they just had that one loss to Ohio State, I could see them moving up more. But the way they played against not even that hard of opponents before this Oregon State game, I think they are a two-loss team, a 10-2 team, still a great team, and they'll sneak in the final bid.
Yeah, love that take. So after all our disagreements on placements and whatnot, of our top 11 teams, 10 of them are the same, just rearranged. The only difference being I have OK State and you have Utah in there. That brings us to our group of five team that we think makes the playoff. I believe it's going to be Boise State. And even though they already have a loss, it is just about as good of a loss as you're going to get, because it's to a team that I believe will be in this 12-team playoff. And it's to a team that you went to their stadium at night and very nearly probably should have beaten. I think Ashton Gentry is just about as good as you're going to get, not only running back, but college football player this upcoming season. And I really like what Boise State's building. I think they're going to handle the Mountain West. And I think they sneak in at that final at-large group of five bid.
Coming into the season, I was really hoping this would be a Tulane bid, but I'm fully on the train of Boise State as well at my 12 seed. I mean, this team has looked great, especially behind Heisman candidate running back Ashton Gentry. He's really that good, I seriously think. Oregon was by far the hardest game and was already behind them. And I guess besides winning, it was the perfect case scenario, losing by three to a very highly touted Oregon team. And the rest of the season, they don't play a single Power Four team. That's insane. They could seriously win out. I was a big fan of Tulane here, Memphis maybe, but if their one loss being to Oregon and then they win out against non-Power Four teams, they're 100% going to get the bid, and I think they deserve it.
Yeah, and I really like, though, that you brought up Tulane at least, because I had them as an asterisk, as 13. Essentially, I have my group of five bid being between the two of them. I think that they have two losses, which you look at and you go, oh, God, like two loss group of five team, they're not going to make the playoff. Those are two super impressive losses against K-State and Oklahoma, both of whom are ranked teams who are in dominant conferences. Both of them are, I think, top 15 right now.
Yep.
If they win out in the American, which is a really good group of five conference, and watch Boise State maybe drop a game that we wouldn't expect, crazier things have happened in college football. So I would definitely keep them in the back of your mind in terms of, hey, even though they have two losses, look at those losses type thing.
And I completely agree. I mean, even being a group of five team, they play a harder schedule than a lot of Power Four teams. I'll say Miami themselves, we're not going to play two highly ranked teams like that. We're not. We thought maybe Florida State was going to be like that, but I mean, Tulane going back to back top 15 teams as a group of five team and almost winning both games. I mean, it looks bad when you see it on paper as 1-2, but they really do deserve some flowers, I'll say.
Yeah. And so we don't need to go matchup per matchup through this 12-team playoff. But no. I will ask you, what do you think the national championship game is going to be? What two teams will be there? And who do you think wins it?
I have the fifth seed, Georgia, playing the two seed, Ohio State, and Ohio State winning it.
I have the one seed, Ohio State, playing the five seed, Georgia. And I think that we have the same thoughts here. I really want Ohio State to win it. Other than that, I have to buzz my head if we do, because of a bet that we have going here where basically every boy has agreed to shave their head if we win the Natty. But I think Georgia takes this one.
Oh, really? You think Georgia takes it?
Yeah. And I hate to say it, but Georgia is a really good team. And I just don't think Ohio State has the firepower to keep up with them this year. Love our defense. Love what we've built on offense. I think that our running back duo is the best in the nation. I just don't know that Will Howard is the guy to get it done for us. He's a great quarterback who can get us to the big game. But I just don't know that he's the guy who wins it for us.
Yeah, I mean, around an amazing system, Will Howard is a serviceable quarterback. You know, he's going to get it done, but he's not the playmaker that's going to win the big game. I'll agree. Obviously, that's Carson Beck in this situation, but
yeah.
I seriously think that this offense that Ohio State has built, along with the secondary and the D-line, Georgia always has those players too, but I think I'm going to give the break to Ohio State, and they're going to take it.
All right. I love to hear you say that. Love to hear you say that.
Do you want to get into some Heisman rankings? Yeah, who you got?
So what I've done is I put together my top three who I think are potential winners, and then I include one dark horse. So I will say that my front runner right now is Jackson Dart. I think that even though, and I think we're going to have the same guy. At my number two, I think is going to be your number one, but I'll save that. I digress. But I think Jackson Dart leading that Ole Miss offense, especially if, as I projected, if Ole Miss wins the SEC with Jackson Dart at the helm and they get a top two spot, it's so hard to not put him in there, because what are the two criteria usually for a Heisman candidate? They got to be on a winning team. They always have to be on a winning team. Like, look at Caleb Williams, put up similar numbers his last 2 years of college, but 1 year they were the fifth ranked team, and so he won the Heisman. The other year, last year, they were unranked, and he wasn't even a candidate. So you got to consider that when you're looking at him. And I just think Jackson Dart is going to put up numbers in the SEC this year. So he's my current Heisman favorite.
My current Heisman favorite, although I have Jackson Dart closely behind, is Cameron Ward from Miami. Each week, Cam has been climbing the rankings. And I'll be honest, I was always someone that said, oh, yeah, he's second. He's second. I mean, Ewers is the guy. But with Ewers now hurt, and like the option of him not playing a few games is huge for the Heisman. I think that puts Cam at number one. I really do think he has it all, the arm strength, the way he can throw from different angles, the mobility, the accuracy. And I also think that he's a fan favorite right now because he has this old school mentality. He's not big on social media. He rarely posts. He just has a few words in the interviews. He doesn't wear like big chains or flashy clothes. I swear this kid only cares about football, and that's it. He does nothing else ever. And also, the strength of schedule for Miami means that his stats are probably going to be absurd. He's playing some scrub teams. I mean, as long as they don't take him out the game, he hasn't finished a single game yet. But he also has one of the best receiving cores in the country, I think. And against these bad teams with that receiving core, he can kind of just air it out whenever he wants. And the yards just come easy. I really do think that this is Cam Ward's Heisman to lose at this point.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't talk about who my number two was. I wanted to give you your chance to talk about your boy there. Cam Ward is my number two. I think he's a stud. Everything you just mentioned. This is, again, going to be a highly ranked team. He's got all the traits to win it. So it seems that we both have the same top two, right? You have Jackson Dart up there?
Actually, no. I have Milroe. Oh. I have Jalen Milroe.
Really? You have Milroe?
Yeah.
Do elaborate.
I think he could have easily won it last year, the way he played down the stretch. It just didn't work out like that. Jaden Daniels won it. But much like Miami, I think the weapons around Milroe make it easy for those big plays to happen. Also, just the amount of press that Bama gets, it's hard for Milroe to not be in the spotlight as long as he continues to play well and has that aura that Milroe has always had. Especially with all the controversy of Bama losing recruits and Bama having a new coach and, oh, this isn't Bama's year. I think this is kind of like, kind of showing everybody up and how good Milroe has been playing. I have him at number two right now.
All right. I don't mind that take. I think that he's going to put a lot of the league on alert. I personally don't have him that highly because I think that there's a lot to be worked on in his game. He seems like a very developmental player that you're going to have to work with and develop. But you're right. He's already putting up numbers. And he put up numbers last year, even though he got benched briefly last year. Mm-hmm. But I think that's not the worst thing to consider. I just think that there's more. You have to give him a little more time.
I think he was the best in the country down the stretch at the end of last year.
Fair enough. At my number three, I have Miller Moss. I think that him at USC, I really like what he's been doing there. I like how he ended last season. And I think that with the way USC is playing right now, he's going to be put on the national stage a lot of nationally televised games. He's going to get attention. People are going to see how good of a player he is. So give me Miller Moss at my number three. I don't think he's in the same conversation as Cam Ward and Jackson Dart. I think he's behind them in terms of that. But he's going to get enough attention that I think he's in that room at the end of the season in New York as a Heisman candidate, at least.
My number three, I have Jackson Dart. We talked about him a lot, so not much more to say, but this is one of the best Ole Miss teams I've ever seen in my lifetime. And also just the teams they're playing as of right now and how explosive this offense is. I mean, his stats are unmatchable. Even if he loses, I think he'll probably have the best stats on paper. I also just think he's a fan favorite. I mean, the girls like him, the boys want to be him. He really does have that aura. I keep saying that, but that he does have that aura. And it actually does go a long way for just social media and impressions. I mean, that's a big part of the Heisman.
Yeah, love that take. Do you have any more potential front runners before we get into dark horses?
Yeah, I actually don't have a dark horse. I just want to throw in a fourth front runner that I just wanted to give a shout out for.
Okay.
Nico. Nico, I always troll his last name. I'm Aleva. I mean, it's hard to talk about these players because they've all have the same things in common, these big four. Tennessee is a hell of a team with an explosive offense, and the stats will be there for him. Also, just knowing that he's a freshman, just he gets a lot of hype for that. And this Tennessee team is, you know, it was so up, and now it was down, and now it's so much back up. And this Tennessee, this team is looking really, really solid, and that could, it could compete in the SEC. And Nico's just all another one of those guys that just people love to talk about. I hear Nico getting talked about all the time, and yeah, that's who I think is the number four.
Yeah, another guy is going to be on the national stage week in and week out.
Yeah,
he's going to get a lot of media attention. So I actually have a dark horse, and I wanted to go a few ways with this. Initially, I was thinking like, oh, Ashton Gentry, I can put him in, but I don't even think he's a dark horse at this point.
Nah. He's like top eight. People have in odds.
Yeah. People have just accepted like this running back is a Heisman candidate, so I decided not to go with him. Flipped through my mind between a few others, and I think that Avery Johnson, and I'll put an asterisk, he's the quarterback of K-State, asterisk, has to win the Big 12. If they win the Big 12 and get that final conference championship bid, I think he's going to impress a lot of people this season. He drove Will Howard out of town. Will Howard is now the starting quarterback of Ohio State and left because he knew he wasn't going to win the job over Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson was already winning the job last season before Will Howard left. So now he's playing this season. He's already putting up really great numbers. I really like what K-State's building. I didn't have them in my 12-team playoff, so that's why I'll say if they find a way to win the Big 12. I mean, they're number 13 ranked right now. That's nothing to scoff at.
No.
So he has a legit shot. He's not even top seven right now in Heisman odds. I wouldn't rule him out. I'd say that he has a very legit shot at this award, especially being that he is a, we'll just say, probably better player than quarterbacks of big teams like Ohio State, who's a national championship favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I could agree. I've watched a significant amount of Avery Johnson this season, and he continues to impress me. He really can push the ball downfield. He's actually pretty mobile too, which is fun to watch about him. This K-State team, like you're saying too, they could easily win the Big 12. I mean, we talk about Utah, we talk about Oklahoma State, but they're right there with those teams. I mean, if the cards fall right, I think realistically, I think the best case scenario for Avery Johnson is that he could go to New York and be a top four Heisman candidate. Yeah. I don't know about winning it, but yeah, I mean, even if he made it to New York and was voted on, that would be a dark horse win, I think, for you. So yeah, that's awesome.
He's got three more years of eligibility. He's here for the long run. So he's got time even to win that award, if not this year.
Yeah, so let's quickly go through the game predictions. We'll start with USC and Michigan. USC is -5.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take...
It's at Michigan.
Yeah. I'm going to take USC to not only cover that, but I just think they beat the pants out of Michigan this upcoming weekend.
I agree. I have USC beating Michigan, and USC covers easily.
Yeah. All right. Next one that I think we should talk about is a Friday night game. Number 24, Illinois, travels to number 22, Nebraska, two teams who not a lot of people expected to be ranked at this point.
I have Nebraska beating Illinois. I actually, although he's kind of cringe, I do think Dylan Raiola is that guy. He's really, really good, and I love what Matt Rhule's building in Nebraska. He really has built this program from nothing. I mean, we know he's obviously a great coach. Coach at Temple, Baylor, coach in the NFL. He's back in college, and he really has built this program from nothing, and they're getting these big recruits in Lincoln, and I think over the next few years, this is a contending team, and Illinois snuck in to the top 25, but I think they have no business dealing with Nebraska.
Yeah, and Illinois got in because of a really impressive win against, at the time, ranked Kansas. But at this point, we've now seen Kansas has been proven pretty fraudulent after losing to UNLV. So I think that Nebraska gives them the works and wins by not a small margin, especially a night game in Lincoln. Illinois is not prepared for that right now.
So let's take it to, how about Tennessee and Oklahoma?
So this one, I had to think about for a minute because it's at Oklahoma, and I love the culture there in Norman. I mean, that is a fan base that shows out. But I think that Oklahoma is only getting their first taste of the SEC, and I think it's going to be pretty bitter. I think that Tennessee beats down on them pretty hard. The fans are going to show up. It's going to be pumping for that game. They're going to love it. First SEC matchup. I think they get blown out.
So I have Tennessee beating Oklahoma, even though Oklahoma's at home. But Tennessee is currently -7 for the odds, and I think Oklahoma will cover. I think this could be a three-point game, a field goal winning game. That Oklahoma atmosphere is serious, and this team can also contend. I kind of thought this team was going to be fraudulent if you were to ask me 4 weeks ago, but they've seriously impressed me. But, you know, Nico and Tennessee is a real contender.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And then another one we definitely need to talk on is NC State at number 21, Clemson. Big ACC matchup.
I have Clemson winning this. We talked about him a lot. I mean, that first loss to Georgia, is it really alarming? It's Georgia. Come on. Klubnik has looked pretty good ever since then. And this, you know how Clemson is. This is a Clemson team that can win games. And Dabo is still a great coach. And I think they have a chance to win out the rest of the season. NC State looked good at the beginning of the year, but I think they're iffy. I have Clemson winning this.
Yeah, and I really like that it's at Clemson too, so I will take Clemson in this. That is an atmosphere that's going to be ready to go, especially because NC State, even though they're not ranked right now, started the season ranked. A lot of people out them as a dark horse contender in the ACC. So I think Clemson's going to go in there and prove to a lot of people, hey, we're still Clemson. Don't forget about us just because we had a rough season last year and got beat by Georgia this year. We're still Clemson. So yeah, give me Clemson.
And the final one I want to talk about is Utah at Oklahoma State.
This one is, I'm giving it to Oklahoma State. You know, I'm really high on them. I have them picked to win the Big 12. And I think that starts with beating Utah. This is their Super Bowl for the season. They have to beat Utah. If they don't beat them, they're not gonna be able to win the Big 12 this season. It's just plain and simple like that. So give me Oklahoma State. Boone Pickens is going to be bumping for that game. I'm really excited to watch it myself. That's going to be really fun. OK State wins this one.
Yeah, I have Utah winning this. We disagree here. The line's only -1.5, so I'll have Utah cover as well. It's pretty much an even line when it's 1.5. So I talked about Utah a lot just every single year. They're just a gritty team. Like, I've never even heard of the guys in their team, and they just always get it done. It's just the way Utah is, you know. They have a few prospects every once in a while, but their culture there is something that needs to be noted. And Oklahoma State, although a great team, I think Utah and Rising is supposed to play in this game as well. So give me Utah.
Yeah, but Cam Rising coming off an injury and after an injury-ridden season last year, that, again, scares me. I think he can be great. It's just right now his body's not letting him. And I feel bad for him, but I don't know that he's going to be able to get it done. But with that, should we go into a new segment? Parlay of the week.
Yep.
Like, would you like to start us off with parlay of the week?
I'd love to. So my betting platform of choice for today is Prize Picks. Please bet responsibly and legally. I have a 4-leg parlay here. Well, I'm going to start with Cam Ward over 320 and a half passing yards. Last three games has gone for 385, 304, and 346. So pretty much over that all three games. And I'll tell you, this is the first game that might actually be somewhat close for Miami. We're only 16-point favorites, which is actually not that much. And we saw how USF played against Alabama 2 weeks ago. This is a real competitive team that plays really hard. With that said, I think Cam Ward could actually play into the fourth quarter possibly, which means a lot of yards, you know? Like, he's been subbing out at halftime with 385 yards. So if he plays in the fourth, I'm pretty confident he can hit that 320 over that. My second leg, Travis Hunter, over 7.5 receptions. Last two games, Travis has had 13, 10, and 7. When Boulder plays good is when Travis Hunter plays good. Boulder's trying to get, you know, keep stacking those wins after that Colorado State win. I think he goes over 7.5 receptions there. And then I have Dylan Raiola, over 1.5 passing touchdowns. This big ranked matchup against Illinois, I think it's going to go to the end of the game. Could possibly be a shootout, and we've seen Raiola sling that thing. I think it's a lock for 2 tutties. Finally, I have new Donovan Edwards, over 59.5 rush yards. He's only went for 59.5 one out of the three games this season, but I think it's this game against USC. He's going to come down to the wire, and Michigan knows if they want to win this game, they need to establish the run on a USC team that is usually pretty vulnerable to the run. I think there's my 4-leg parlay. If it hits, it's 10x. So bet 10 bucks, win 100. Go take your girl out to dinner.
All right. I like it. My betting platform of choice is ESPN Bets, because we don't have access to Prize Picks in Ohio.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. So I, instead of going player props, I went game props. So the first one is Nebraska -7.5 against Illinois. I'm going to take them to cover that. Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to win that by more than a few scores in Lincoln. Give me them in that. The next one, this one is one that a lot of people are going to scoff at. LSU -24. I take them to cover that against UCLA. UCLA wouldn't have covered that against Indiana last weekend, and that was at home. I think UCLA is going to get the ever-living God crap beat out of them by poor LSU. Oh my God, they're going to get creamed by them. So 24-point spread, I take LSU to cover that. The next one, Cal +2.5 against Florida State. I'm going to take them to cover that. I think they actually
let's go
out there and even put money line on this one. I love Cal right now. They're actually doing really well. They've put together a few impressive wins to start the season. I don't think that it stops. Florida State stinks. We can just say that. Mm-hmm. And even though Florida State's, I think that if there was a time when Florida State was going to pull a reinvigorated thing, I think it would have been against
Memphis.
It would have been against not only Memphis, but before that, they lost against Boston College. Fine.
Yeah, BC.
Like, lose to Georgia Tech to start the season. That's one thing. Then you go at home against Boston College. That's your chance. Like, rah, rah. You still lose that. All right. Now we get a cupcake against Memphis. Rah, rah. We're going to win. All right. We lost again. So now I think they're at the point where they're just dejected. I think those players are losing faith in the team, losing faith in Norvell. So I think that Cal actually wins this game against Florida State. Final one, USC -5 at Michigan. I think that it's going to be a multiple score game again. I think it's going to be similar to what Texas did to them, where they go into Ann Arbor and just blow them out. So give me them to cover that. All this is bet $10. You will win $100.
Same, like, right? Yeah.
And so if you parlayed those four together, I think you're going to be having a pretty good time.
Yeah, I mean, I would honestly take all four of those if I was betting. Those are all good, valid picks. So, you know, we'll come back next episode and see if we cashed out.
Yeah.
You know, thank you so much for listening, guys. We're going to start maybe keeping to post more and talk about some college, some NFL, some fantasy, of course, all the classics. Hopefully have some special guests maybe from our universities, Ohio State football, Miami football. Wouldn't that be awesome? So thank you for listening. If you're still watching at this point, we'll be back soon. And peace out from Blake and
Cole. See you guys.
See ya.
Thank you.